All right, you may be seated, and I get to preach after that. Listen, it's what we do in worship makes my job easier. I'll just say that. All right, open your Bibles this morning to Proverbs chapter 1 as we begin a new series called The Wise Man and the Fool from the book of Proverbs. The story, The Prince and the Pauper, is a classic tale about mistaken identity. You may be familiar with it. Through a series of kind of unusual circumstances, a poor peasant boy named Tom Canty is mistakenly thought to be Prince Edward of Wales, son of King Henry VIII. In turn, the Prince of Wales is mistakenly thought to be this poor peasant boy who's been hanging around the castle, and he is promptly expelled by angry guards. And so as the story unfolds, these two boys find themselves living in very different worlds, not just worlds that are different from each other, but worlds that are different from what they have always known. Now, the reason for this mix-up is that these two boys look very much alike, so much so that the one that belonged in the village was now living in the castle, and the one who was royalty, who was supposed to be in the castle, now found himself living in the village like a pauper. They looked alike on the outside, but listen, they came from very different worlds. Now, here's why I'm bringing up this classic tale as we begin a series in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs talks about two very different ways of life, the way of wisdom and the way of foolishness. It talks about two very different ways of life, two very different paths that we can follow that have two very different outcomes. We can think of it this way. Wisdom is something that produces in us a spiritual and moral wealth. And foolishness, if we follow that path, is something that produces in us a spiritual and a moral poverty. Follow one path, you become wise. Follow the other, and you become a fool. So there is a stark contrast between these two pathways in life. But here's the crazy thing. Even though there's this contrast, sometimes we have a hard time telling them apart. Because in this fallen world that we live in, things aren't always what they seem to be. Foolishness can sometimes dress up in the clothes of a prince and deceive the unsuspecting. And that's why the book of Proverbs is such a vital resource for our lives. Proverbs is the language of how things really are. Let me say that again. Proverbs is the language of how things really are. I'm reading a book right now. It's fiction. And in this book, there's this idea that long ago there was this ancient language. And this is an ancient language that was spoke at one time by all living creatures. And there was power in this ancient language because it described the true nature of things, not the superficial aspect that everybody sees. And so as I'm reading this book and I read that thing about this language and there's power in this language because it describes the true nature of things, I begin to think about the book of Proverbs for this reason. Proverbs describes the true nature of things. It tells us how life really works. And when you know how life really works, listen to me, you are empowered to live life well. When you know how life really works, when you know what it's really all about, you find yourself empowered to live life well. Warren Wiersbe wrote this, "Proverbs is a book that tells you how to become skillful in the lost art of making a life." It's great. It's a great way to say it. It is a collection of godly wisdom that will help you to navigate life well. Over and over again, the writer lays out the pathway of the wise man and the pathway of the fool, and he encourages his readers to choose the path of wisdom. And so this morning, as we begin this series, we're going to take an introductory look at this book, and I want us to look at it from this perspective. What value does the book of Proverbs hold for us? What is the point of spending time, not just on Sunday morning, but also in our personal lives? What is the point? What is the value in spending time in the book of Proverbs? And let's start with this question. What exactly is a proverb? It's important to know. If we're going to spend time in a book called Proverbs, we need to know what a proverb is. Well, the word proverb comes from the root word in Hebrew, mashal, which means to be like or to compare with. And so a proverb is a statement that makes a comparison or summarizes a common experience. So a lot of times you'll read in the book of Proverbs that, you know, it'll compare life to the life of an ant, for example, talking about hard work. It'll make that comparison. Or it'll summarize our common experience. We can say, this is something we can say is true because it's generally true of our human experience. That's a proverb. The English word proverb comes from the Latin word proverbium, which is a compound word. Two words put together. Pro, meaning on behalf of, and verba, meaning words. Together, you put them together and it means a short statement on behalf of many words. That's what a proverb is. It takes a larger concept, one that you might have to spend a lot of time explaining, and it shrinks it down into a concise, crisp statement. And Proverbs aren't limited to Scripture, are they? There are many of these short statements in various cultures that give us wisdom for living in as far as they reflect what is actually true. Here are some that you may be familiar with, and we could come up with a bunch of these this morning if we took some time. Two wrongs don't make a right. It's a proverb. The pen is mightier than the sword. When the going gets tough, Yeah, you've heard this. You can't make an omelet without breaking a few eggs. Life is like a box of chocolates. That's a proverb. It's a comparison, right? You never know what you're going to get. Mark Twain apparently wrote a proverb for President Truman who had it framed and hung it in the Oval Office. And it said this, always do what's right. This will gratify some and astonish the rest. Here's another good one. Your silence may be misinterpreted, but it will never be misquoted. I think we should send that to our presidential candidates. As I was looking at some of these common proverbial statements this week, I was just kind of searching on, so what are some common proverbs out there? I came across one that I misread. I got excited. I thought it said, fortune favors the bald. But it said bold. Fortune favors the bold. All right, so a proverb is a small statement that stands in place of a longer speech, and it delivers wisdom that we can live by. And as I said, proverbs are not unique to Scripture, but the proverbs within Scripture are unique among proverbs. Let me read to you a statement from the Bible Knowledge Commentary in its introduction to the book of Proverbs. It makes this point. Listen, many ancient cultures in the Near East had wisdom writings. Though the book of Proverbs is somewhat similar to that literature, the wisdom promoted in Proverbs contains an element not found in those works. Wisdom in Proverbs includes practical sagacity, mental acumen, and functional skill. Now, let me just pause there and explain that. Proverbs includes practical sagacity. It means it includes practical advice, sagacity, sage wisdom. So it has that practical advice. It has that aspect. Mental acumen, it's sharp thinking. Proverbs is about thinking well. We'll talk about that some more. And functional skill tells you how to live life. Proverbs contains all of that, like many other proverbs. But it goes on to say, it also includes moral upright living, which stems from a right relationship with the Lord. And that's the key. Understanding a right relationship with God is what sets the book of Proverbs apart, and it is at the heart of living wisely. Now, as we begin this series in the book of Proverbs, we don't really have to wonder, we don't have to guess what Solomon is getting at. What is his objective? What is he trying to achieve here? He tells us in these first six verses that we're going to look at this morning what he is doing in the book of Proverbs, what he wants to accomplish. He tells us what we can expect to gain as we spend time in the book of Proverbs over the next several weeks. So look with me at verse 1. Now I'm going to spend the rest of the time this morning looking at what we can expect to gain from the book of Proverbs. What value does it have for us? Look with me at verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for learning what wisdom and discipline are. Some of your translations say instruction, wisdom and instruction. So here's expectation number one, and this is probably the most obvious. You will learn wisdom. You spend time in the book of Proverbs, you will learn wisdom. These proverbs are given to make us wise. Now, there are a number of words that are used in the book of Proverbs to refer to this concept of wisdom. One of them is a Hebrew word, chokma, which is the ability to make right decisions for the right reasons at the right time. That's this idea of chokmah. It's that part of our intellectual and reasoning capacity that sets us apart as human beings from all other creation. It is knowledge rightly applied. So wisdom's not just about being smart, not just about having the information. Wisdom is about knowledge that is rightly applied to life. Another Hebrew word for wisdom, in fact, this is the one that's used most frequently in the book of Proverbs, is chokmah. And this is an interesting word. In the Old Testament, this word chokmah is used to refer to the skill of a craftsman. His skill is called chokmah, right? Or it's sometimes used to refer to the skill of sailors, or the skill of singers, or administrators, or counselors. You see, these workers would apply their knowledge and their experience in their certain area of expertise. They would apply it there, and as a result, they would be efficient in carrying out their work. So you can see how this word chokmah refers to wisdom. In the book of Proverbs, chokmah refers to someone who is knowledgeable and experienced in following after God's ways. A wise man, a wise woman is someone who is skillful in godly living. You can be skillful as a craftsman, that's one kind of skill, but you can be skillful in godly living, and that is biblical wisdom. Let me give you an example to kind of bring this out. And I use this by permission, and you've heard them tell this story if you've hung out with them since they've gotten back. But Harold and Nancy Raleigh recently traveled through Mexico on their way to and from Belize, the country of Belize. All right? And they, as they were traveling through Mexico one afternoon, they had reservations at a Holiday Inn in Altamira near Tampico. All right? And they arrived in Altamira and they followed the directions to find their hotel. Here's the problem. They didn't know the streets of Altamira, and apparently signage isn't really great, and it's not in English either. And so it didn't really help them out much. They lacked both the knowledge and the experience to get to their destination. So they drive around for, what, an hour, hour and a half, making right turns and left turns and U-turns, all to no avail. So they did something really smart. Harold overcame his natural male instinct not to ask for directions, right? We've all got that, guys. And they found somebody, listen, who was skillful in getting around the city. Any guesses? A cab driver. Right, they asked the cab driver not just to show them, not just to tell them how to get there, but to lead them. They followed the taxi, and lo and behold, he took them right to their hotel. Why? Because when it came to navigating the streets of Altamira, he was a wise man. He had that skill. He had that knowledge. He had that experience. Now listen, if godly living is our destination, then we need to develop the skill to get there. And one of the best ways we can do that is by following somebody who knows the way. That's what the book of Proverbs is all about. So you can expect to become wise by reading and applying the truth of this book in your life. That's the first one. Here's the second expectation. Number two, you will learn discipline. You can expect that. You will learn discipline. Some of your translations say instruction. Look at verse 2 again. For learning what wisdom and discipline are. This word discipline or instruction carries with it the idea of being corrected or chastised or rebuked. It's very similar to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. You might be familiar with that verse. All scripture is inspired, right? And it is profitable. For what? For teaching. But not just that. For correcting and rebuking. You see, the Proverbs will not only point out the way of wisdom, this is the way you should live your life, but they will also rebuke us when we're living like a fool. If you read these words with an open and tender heart, they will sting at times. But they will bring much needed correction in our lives if we allow them. But we don't want that, do we? Not so much the correction, we don't want the stinging part. We don't like that. We don't like to be rebuked. We'd much rather have an inspirational verse for the day that peps us up and sends us on our way than something that rebukes us. But look at what the Bible says about the role of God's word in our lives in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the ideas and thoughts of the heart. Here's what that means. God uses his word to do surgery on our hearts, to remove what doesn't belong there. But surgery requires cutting, and cutting hurts. But surgery also brings healing, and you can't have one without the other. So expect to learn discipline. Expect to be rebuked if you read the book of Proverbs and you allow it to do its work in your life. Here's the third thing that we should expect when we work our way through the book of Proverbs. Number three, you will learn to think well. You will learn to think well. The book of Proverbs will help sharpen your mind. It will help you think better. Look at verse 2 again. For learning what wisdom and discipline are. Now look at the second part of that. For understanding insightful sayings. Now run your finger down to verse 6. For understanding a proverb or a parable, the words of the wise and their riddles. What is he saying? That when you study the book of Proverbs, you will grow in your ability to understand the perplexities of life. You will learn to think well. You will gain mental acuity. If I could use another road illustration, being able to think well versus not thinking well is like the difference between just being able to get around on the interstate and being able to use, you know, the back roads and city streets and country roads. You know what I'm saying? On the interstate, there's not a lot of choices to be made. The interstate's pretty simple. You get on and you drive. Not a lot of twists and turns, no intersections, that kind of thing. It's pretty much you get on and you drive, especially if you're driving on I-10 to New Orleans, right? You go on autopilot. There's no thinking necessary. You just drive. Not so when you get off. Not so with back roads and city streets. They're more complex. There's more choices to be made. More discernment is needed. And so it is with wisdom. Wisdom requires us to think well. It requires us to go beyond a two-dimensional view of life. It requires us to go beyond surface observations. The insightful sayings mentioned in verse 2. And the proverbs, parables, words of the wise, and riddles that are mentioned in verse 6, he's referring there to wisdom literature of the day that reflect this deeper understanding of reality. And he says you'll be able to understand that. You'll be able to understand that when you begin to get into the book of Proverbs. It will affect the way you think. We gain that understanding, we gain that discernment by reading and reflecting on the thoughts of the wise. It's how you become wise. How your thinking grows is you reflect upon the thoughts of the wise. You know, I get smarter when I read smart people who write well. And I'm not just talking about people who have a lot of knowledge. I'm talking about people whose way of thinking and reasoning improves the way I think and the way I reason. Not people who just give me a lot of information, but people who deepen my perspective on life. And this is why reading good authors is so important. This is why reading is important. But it's doubly important that we read those who give us godly wisdom. And God has provided us that in the book of Proverbs. And when you read this book, I mean really read it, you learn to think well. It doesn't just give you rules for life. Here's the rules, here's the rules, here's. No, it teaches you to think well. Here's the fourth expectation to have as you read this book. You will learn to live well. Not just think well, but you will learn to live well. Look at verse 3. He says, for receiving wise instruction in righteousness, justice, and integrity. The NIV says, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior. The point is that you learn to live well. You see, the book of Proverbs isn't about theory. It isn't about some lofty ideas that bear no relationship to reality. It's about the day-to-day living of our lives. See, wisdom's not just about what you think. It's not about just having the right answers. You can come to church all your life and get all the right answers. But it's how you behave. That's where wisdom plays itself out. A modern-day wise man said, stupid is as stupid does. There's truth in that, right? What does it mean? It means the fruit of wisdom is born out in our actions. You want to see a stupid person? You want to know if a person is stupid? Look at how he behaves. You want to know if somebody is wise or foolish? Look at how they live their life. And Solomon describes what this kind of behavior looks like, what wisdom produces in us in terms of our behavior. This isn't an exhaustive list, but it's a representative list. He says that a wise person's life can be characterized as one that is righteous just and honest. Righteousness, justice, integrity. Now let's just stop and think about that for a minute. Just the first part of that. Wisdom leads to righteousness. Why? Well, for the simple reason. Righteousness is all about living your life according to God's design. That's righteousness, right? And if you were designed to live your life in a certain way by God, the Creator, then it just makes sense to live your life in that way. That is wisdom. And how desperately we need that kind of wisdom in our world today. How many of you, 10 years ago, those of you old enough to kind of think back to what you were thinking 10 years ago, how many of you could have guessed that a state in our union would have to pass a law that says you need to use the bathroom that corresponds to your biological makeup? I mean, how ridiculous is that? That is foolishness. Not the fact that they passed a law, the fact that they needed to. Boys, you need to go to the boys' room. Girls, you need to go to the girls' room. How did we come to this place? How have we gotten so far in our culture that we need to pass a law telling people what bathroom to use? I will tell you how. Because we have abandoned biblical wisdom. That's why. And we're going to find out next week, biblical wisdom starts with the fact that you acknowledge that there is a God and He is the Creator and He is in control. And when a society abandons biblical wisdom, it abandons righteous behavior. The two go together. Read and apply these words, and you will learn to live well. And then verses 4 and 5 give us the last expectation we should have as we work our way through the book of Proverbs. Look with me at those verses. It says this: "For teaching shrewdness to the inexperienced, knowledge and discretion to a young man, a wise man will listen and increase his learning, and a discerning man will obtain guidance." So here's the last expectation you can have as we work our way through the book of Proverbs. You will learn to mature well, to grow up, to mature well. And of course, this is the culmination of all the rest, but I point it out because these verses emphasize the process of gaining wisdom. A wise man will listen and what? Increase in his learning. A discerning man will obtain guidance. Right? Wisdom is something we grow into. This growth process is a necessity in life. It's a necessary part of life. We're going to see in a couple of weeks that it's a fool who says, you know, that who's unteachable, who says, "I don't need anybody telling me the way life is. I've got it all figured out." That's the fool who doesn't realize that he needs to grow. Look, it doesn't say a fool increases in his learning. That's what we might think. No, the wise man is the one who's always searching out wisdom. But look at how Solomon describes this in these verses. These proverbs, he says, will give shrewdness to the inexperienced or gullible or naive or simple-minded. I like that word shrewdness because I think it reflects the original Hebrew meaning well. Some of your translations say it'll give prudence or wisdom, but I like shrewdness because this word is translated in other passages as craftiness or scheming. Now, that doesn't mean if you read the book of Proverbs, you'll become a crafty person or a scheming person. What it does mean, though, is you'll be able to recognize, you will have the wisdom to see and recognize craftiness in this world. You'll be able to recognize the scheming that goes on in this world. Because listen, gullible people are taken advantage of. People who can't recognize craftiness, who cannot recognize scheming, they're taken advantage of. They are hurt because they don't see the danger. Shrewdness, this kind of wisdom, helps them to protect themselves. This kind of wisdom helps us to perceive the difference between what is real, what is actual, and what is not. Because if you can't see that difference, listen, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to get taken advantage of. About a year ago, Linda and I nearly got taken advantage of on Craigslist. We had something that we were selling, right? And so we put it out on Craigslist, and we've used Craigslist before, no problem. We put it out on Craigslist. Somebody contacts us. "Yes, I'd like to buy that." Perfect. We set up a time to meet, right? Perfect. Everything's going good. And then we get an email back. "Oh, change of plans. I'm going to be out of town, out of the country, something. So here are a new plan." okay, well, that happens. Well, but then the details started to not really add up. And we had enough shrewdness to say, ooh, wait a minute, this doesn't look quite right. So I called the police. I said, hey, let me just run something by you. What do you think about this? Oh, no, the guy said. Abandon that. It's a common scam on Craigslist. You need to watch out for that. Well, he had knowledge and experience, right? He knew this because he had been down this road as a police officer. He had dealt with this. We now have that knowledge and experience when it comes to that area of life. We've gained that. And listen, if that's true about the things of this world, if having this kind of shrewdness, not being gullible, not being naive, if that's true about the things of this world, then it's all the more true about the things of heaven, is it not? We need to be shrewd about spiritual claims that are in our world. There are many, many spiritual claims, and we need to have a shrewdness, a wisdom. We cannot afford to be spiritually naive. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But what does the wisdom of our world say? Oh, there are many ways to God. They're like different pathways leading up the side of a mountain. Various religions all end up in the same place. You know, one person might travel this pathway on the north side of the mountain, the pathway of Christianity. Somebody else might travel a pathway on the east side of the mountain, you know, the pathway of Hinduism. And somebody might travel a pathway on the south side of the mountain, the pathway of Islam. But listen, at the end of the day, they all arrive at the summit together. Listen, if you are not informed by the truth of God's word, that sounds reasonable. That even sounds like wisdom. Many paths all converging at the same point. All religions leading to the same place. Listen, if you're not informed by God's word, that sounds like that could be true, but it's not. Like a pauper dressed up in the clothing of a prince, it's not what it appears to be. And the way we know that is by being informed by God's word. It's not about being smarter than someone else. It's about being informed by the truth of God's word. So maybe you're here this morning and you've begun to buy into that idea. You've bought into it. You know, there are many different religions. They all lead to the same place. All going to end up in the same place. Maybe you've thought that, and this morning you're beginning to think, wait a minute, I might be going down a path that's going to be problems. It's going to be trouble for me. Maybe like Linda and I with the Craigslist thing, you know, we kind of got to a place where we said, wait a minute, this doesn't appear quite right. And maybe this morning you've come to that place in your life. You started down that path, but now you're beginning to question it. Or maybe you've bought into some other unbiblical idea that sounds wise. Like people are basically good. That's another bit of wisdom from our world. At their heart, people are basically good. It's society that makes people bad. It's the institutions of society that we impose upon them. That's what makes people bad. But at their heart, people are basically good. That sounds like that could be true. That sounds like wisdom until you read God's word. It says, there's none good, no, not one, that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. You see, either one of those claims will keep you away from realizing your need for Jesus as your Savior. We cannot afford to be spiritually naive. We need to be informed by the truth of God's word. And if you're here this morning, you say, you know what? I've been buying into some of those things. I've been buying into some things that have led me away from this idea that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. But this morning, you're wanting to inform yourself. You're wanting to consider all the options. Maybe you haven't come to the place of making a decision in your life. But you're saying, I want to see what all the options are here. I want to see what God's word has to say about some of these things. Listen, I would like to talk to you. I'd like to sit down and answer whatever questions you might have. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, you know what? I'm right there. God has been working in my life and I've come to that place of understanding some things about who I am. I'm a sinner. I've come to that place about understanding who God is. He's my creator and I am accountable to him. And I need a savior because if I stand before God in judgment, I'm not going to survive. And I need Jesus. Maybe you're at that place in your life and you say, this morning, I don't need to come and ask you questions. I need to come and I need to pray and receive Jesus as my Savior. Listen, wherever you're at in your journey this morning, if you have been buying into some things that are not true, if you've been following a path of spiritual naivety, and this morning you want to apply the truth of God's Scripture to your life, let me know so that I can talk with you. Not because I have all the answers, but because I have this book that does. And that can inform you and me both about who we are, about who God is, and what He has done for us and how you can respond. So let me tell you how you can do that, how you can let me know if that's where you are this morning. One way is that communication card that's in your bulletin. Make sure there's some contact info there and check that box. Says, I want to talk to somebody about what it means to be a Christian. That's just a way for you to say, hey, get a hold of me. Call me or email me, text me, whatever it is that you put on there that I can get a hold of you. It's your way of saying, get a hold of me. I want to talk to you. And I'll do that. We'll talk. You can come up after the service. I'm always here. And you just come up and say, hey, do you have a few minutes? I'd like to talk. And we'll set up a time that we can get together and we can talk about whatever God is doing in your life right now. But here's what I'm telling you. Don't leave this morning. If God is working in your life in some way, if He's bringing a conviction to your life about a need that you have to be right with Him, then don't leave this morning without letting me know so that I can be His mouthpiece for you for a few minutes and let you know who He is and what He's done. Would you do that? Maybe you have another decision this morning. There's something else going on in your life. Maybe you just kind of come to that place where you say, you know what, it's time for me and maybe me and my family to become a part of this church family, to join the church. Maybe you've taken membership 101. You say, you know, it's time to make it official and you want to come and join this morning. Or maybe something else is going on in your life. And you just want to come down when we're singing. You want to present yourself and you want to talk to me. You can do that as well. Whatever decision you need to make, this is a time of invitation. But I want you to understand that the time of invitation doesn't end when the singing ends. That's just a time for you to present yourself this morning if you have a decision to make. But if you need to talk to me, I'm always, always available and open to you. Father, we thank you for the wisdom that you've given us in the book of Proverbs. We thank you, Father, for Solomon, who himself is just something of a contradiction when it comes to wisdom, but who you used in such a tremendous way to produce this book. Father, I pray in the weeks to come as we work our way through it, Lord, that we would do so with open hearts, that we would gain wisdom and understanding, that we would learn discipline and allow your word to rebuke us, that we would learn to think well and live well and mature well in our lives. Father, use your word in a powerful way in our lives, we pray. Father, I pray for anyone here this morning that maybe has bought into some of the quote-unquote wisdom of the world, that there are many ways to God, that people are basically good, that you don't need a Savior. And this morning, they want to challenge some of those claims in their own life. Father, I pray that you would draw them to the truth of the Savior through your Spirit and the truth of your word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.